Welcome to another message of hope from Gateway Family Church. For more information or to contact us, please visit gateway.asn.au.
Good morning, Gateway. I promise you, you will never get a visit like that from a Gatorite. Well, you better not. Happy Mother's Day to those precious, precious mums out there. I had a greeting this morning on my phone, a message left by my three-year-old granddaughter saying, "Happy Nonny's Day, I love you." You know, I thought it didn't get better than that until I went out to the laundry, and as I was coming back, Mark's in the kitchen waiting for his coffee to brew, and he's grooving to the music. Honestly, I just burst into laughter. I would get him to get up and demonstrate, but I don't want to scar you, okay? It was so funny, and I said, babe, that was awesome. He goes, I often do that when no one's watching. I said, good job. Okay, we are in our second week of our campaign. We started last week, and the life groups, I'm hoping, would have met during the week. So I hope you enjoyed your life group experience. A month ago, we did a series on light and salt, and Jesus taught the importance of what salt and light here on earth is. Being salt is to create a thirst in people to want to know and discover more about Jesus. If we're too salty, we turn people off. Being a light for Jesus is to be caring and compassionate, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Serving people and in a compassionate, caring way to those around us. And that's our way of being attractive to Jesus. You know, it's a little bit like I always turn my high beams on when, you know, I'm down a lonely road that you can't see. And I always, always forget to turn them off when I see a car coming the other way. So, you know, they're flashing at me and I'm thinking, oh, there's a policeman up the road, and then I suddenly tweak, oh no, I've got my flashes on, you know, I'm trying to turn them off. Well, we're not meant to be that way as Christians. It's a little bit like the video, you know, their high beams were flashing and it wasn't acceptable by their neighbours. It actually turned them off. So last week we learnt about our first action step with Life on Mission, and that was to connect. If you haven't heard the message, I really encourage you to podcast it because Mark was great last week. Connecting with others can look a little bit messy. Those of us who confess to know Jesus have been given a mission. So the rest of you here today who don't yet have a relationship with Jesus, you're off the hook. You can just sit back and be looking at everybody else and saying, this message is for you. In John 20, verse 21, will be on your outlines if you like to get out your outlines. It's a little orange piece of paper like this in the middle of your info pack, but it will be up on the screen as well. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus sends us on a mission to follow his example of when he walked on the earth, of revealing his kingdom here on earth. I love that he doesn't leave us on our own to do that. He breathes his Holy Spirit into us to guide us, to strengthen us, to show us how to do this. On your outline, our first feeling is our mission is to do what Jesus did, reveal heaven on earth. You know, when I go to the Indian store, who's been to the Indian grocery just down along towards Frankston, along Frankston Dandy Road? It's the best place to go. When you walk in there, the smell, it smells like India. You smell all those beautiful spices and curries. And there's a little cafe there as well where you can buy all their beautiful food. All the sites are very Indian. You can buy their pots and their cooking ware. And even the people. Usually, I'm the only white person that goes in there. They're mostly Indian, which is a good sign that the food's worthwhile. But, you know, it's like bringing a little piece of Indian to downtown Carrum Downs. And I love that. Well, when God decided to send Jesus to earth, he revealed heaven on earth. It's the same sort of thing. He brought a piece of heaven to earth. Mark calls it, Mark's my husband, by the way. He's the one I was knocking in the beginning. Mark calls it, Jesus was heaven on two legs. I love that. Heaven on two legs. And he commissioned us to be and do the same. What a massive responsibility as Christ followers to be heaven on two legs. I must confess, I'm not that all the time, especially when I was laughing at Mark this morning. Matthew 9 in the Bible, in verse 35 and 36, tells us, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus recognized our need to have a relationship with him. On your outline, our second action step is, last week was to connect. Our second action step is compassion towards those who we are connected to. Compassion towards those we are connected to. Now, the Greek word for compassion is splachna. Splachna. Say it after me. Spit on the person in front of you. Splachna. Isn't that... That's the best word. I love that word. The word literally means a feeling coming up from the gut. As a mum, it's a little bit like, as a mum, my heart goes out when I hear other disastrous things or traumatic things that happen to children and what that must be like for them and for their parents. You know, when I hear of kids suffering, you know, I know we all were reacted and had an emotional response when we saw that little child, that refugee that was washed up on the beach. You know, that's the sort of feeling that you feel deep within your gut, deep within your heart. You're moved by it. Well, that's what the word compassion means. Splachna. We feel it deep within us. Jesus describes us as sheep without a shepherd before we knew him. And it's up to you and me, to those people who don't know Jesus, by being kind, by being generous with our smiles, with our words, with our deeds, and even with our finances. We need to be Jesus on two legs. Saint Teresa said, Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks with compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hand with which he blesses all the world. And I love that he wants to involve us. I take it very serious that he actually entrusts me and he entrusts you to do that. You know, if a student who wanted to be a doctor locked all the doors, studied for years and years, and learnt all they could from videos and books and lectures to become a doctor, but they never actually went into a hospital or into a doctor's practice and cared for the sick or helped heal them. They may have the knowledge of a doctor, but they don't have the action of helping and healing the sick. Their knowledge only serves themselves. You know, if we don't go out and serve others with compassion, if we don't go out and care for others as Christ followers, our faith only serves ourselves. When I thought about that, that really hit me. And I recognise that I'm not always good at looking and seeing where I can serve. Jesus was asked one day by one of the church experts what he needed to be saved. Once it was clarified to love God with all your heart and to love his neighbour as himself, the expert took it further, wanting Jesus to clarify exactly who his neighbour was. Jesus actually knew that he was being asked these questions to be tricked, and that the expert was looking for the bare minimum of loving his neighbour. You know, if I only do the basic, then you're not, I'll be acceptable. Jesus gave us a challenging example, as Jesus only could, about this with the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, a parable is simply an earthly story with a heavenly meaning or a heavenly principle. So you'll find the story of the Good Samaritan in the Bible in Luke 10, verse 25. I'm not going to read that today. I'm actually going to retell that story as if it happened yesterday, or today, actually. There was once an Australian soldier on leave from Iran. He was on his way home one Sunday in the early hours of the morning from a great night out of drinking and making merry. He was dishevelled and he found himself in Frankston along Cranbourne Road. Now, who knows that you don't want to find yourself along Cranbourne Road in the early hours of the morning. He wasn't sure of where he was and he wasn't even sure of how to get home. When out of nowhere, a bunch of no good Frankstonites set upon him and bashed him, leaving him injured in the gutter. They had taken his medals, they took his army boots, and they took what little money he had left. He lay in the gutter bleeding. But thank goodness, who should come along early Sunday morning on his way to church but Mark Ansell? He was late for a welcome team meeting with John and Amelia. He saw the half-naked lump of humanity in the gutter and quickly changed lanes to miss the body and continued, not wanting to be late for his meeting. But he did ring Andrina, his PA, to ring an ambulance in case the guy was dead. He reminded himself he was off to do the Lord's work. Next along Cranbourne Road comes the priest from St John's Church, ready to take Mass. He can hear the church bells ringing in the distance. He too changes lanes to miss the battered body and checked his watch and thought, well, he will need to sleep off that last night's merriment. Serves the sinful soul right. Thirdly, the third person to come along upon this sorry person who was injured and in need of medical attention is a practicing Shari Muslim on his way to the Frankston market. He sees the Australian soldier in the gutter and slams on the brake. He gets out of his car and gently rolls the victim over, taking care not to cause any more damage to his broken body. He cradles the soldier's head in his lap, reassuring him that help is here. He gently puts the soldier in his car and takes him to hospital. Leaving him in the nurses and doctor's care, he goes out and buys fresh clothes, boots, and fills the stranger's pocket with cash so that he isn't left without anything to get home. He gives the stranger his details and tells him if there is anything he can do, just get in touch with him. Who was the Australian soldier's neighbour? Not the first guy, not the second guy, but the Muslim who stopped and engaged in his world and took care of him, even though their worlds clashed on many levels. On your outline, who is our neighbour? Everyone we encounter, the neat and the messy. Everyone we encounter, the neat and the messy. A bad neighbour is someone who goes out of their way to avoid doing the right thing for others. Mark was too busy going about the Lord's work. He was too busy doing the religious activities that he thought God really valued over stopping to show compassion and care and personally attending to the soldier's immediate needs. Now, can I just make a note? Making this relevant for today. I know Mark wouldn't do that. I do know Mark would stop. I hope. The priest judged him and believed he deserved to be in the gutter for his immoral behaviour, and he didn't take the time to stop and find out who or what this man had gone through or even care for his soul. The first two men in the Good Samaritan story did not stop to inquire or take time with the injured man, and they were the men that should have. They did not really see him over their own pressing needs and prejudices. How many needs do we walk past or ignore simply because we don't look through Jesus' eyes? We don't stop because Jesus has asked us to, and we don't want to get messy. You know, I was guilty of this a couple of weeks ago. I'd just come out of Varda and I was crossing the lights ready to get into my car to come back to work. And there was a lady just in the corner of the building, and she had a can of alcohol in her hand, and she was obviously very drunk, and she was kind of fumbling around in her bag. And I pressed the button for the light and I was just waiting there, and I looked back at her and I smiled and looked away because I didn't want to be rude and make her think or feel uncomfortable. But as I was standing there, I thought, what should I do for this lady? What could I do for this lady? She looks a bit dishevelled, and she looks like she could do with some, you know, love or care. But I'm standing there. You know how you stand there with all these thoughts going through your mind? No, well, you know, well, she really is too drunk to notice if I do care. So, and then I started justifying why I wasn't going to stop. And then all of a sudden the green light started going beep, 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 beep. And I thought, oh, I've got to get across the road. But as I was getting across the road and I got to my car, I thought, Sally, you really should go back. And I turned around, but she'd gone. I missed that God moment of stopping and caring for that person, even if it was just to put my hand on her and say, are you okay? Is there anything I can do for you? But I didn't. So I have asked God for forgiveness for that, and I hope I don't miss that opportunity again. The last guy in the Good Samaritan story, he saw through the lens of compassion. We need to look through the lens of compassion. He did not see a soldier who may have fought against his fellow countrymen in Iran, but he saw an injured man who needed instant help and immediate help. He had compassion on him. He went above and beyond being a neighbour to help him. He got messy. He allowed his compassion for a fellow human override his comfort levels, his prejudices, his religious beliefs, and his political preferences. He put all of that aside and got messy. This is what Christ expects of us, to show compassion towards those less fortunate or in need, especially those who don't have a voice. I love that the Samaritan in the story didn't change his whole world or his whole life for the victim, but he did allow the event to intersect his life long enough to help as much as he could. Serving was so important to Jesus that in his last hours with his disciples, this is what he emphasised, what they must do, therefore what we must do. Jesus wiped the disciples' feet. He got down on his knees and he washed their feet. And then he said to them while they were sitting around having the Last Supper, in Luke 22, verse 24 to 27, it's on your outlines. Within minutes, they were bickering, that's meaning the disciples, over who of them would end up being the greatest. That's such typical human nature, isn't it? But Jesus intervened. Kings like to throw their weight around, and people in authority like to give themselves fancy titles. It's not going to be that way with you. Let the senior among you become like the junior. Let the leader act the part of the servant. Who would you rather be, the one who eats the dinner or the one who serves the dinner? You'd rather eat and be served, right? But I've taken my place among you as the one who serves, and you've stuck with me through thick and thin. Now I confer on you the royal authority my Father conferred on me, so that you can eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and be strengthened as you take up the responsibilities among the congregation of God's people." That's really sobering, isn't it? Jesus was explaining a heavenly principle that what we do on earth reflects how it's going to be for us in heaven. In other words, if we clear the table at lunchtime today, if we do the dishes and make sure all of those other people at the table are being cared for here on earth, if we take care to look after those around us, then we will be invited to sit at the Father's table in heaven. Isn't that a beautiful picture? You know, I guess we do our most personal things, well, maybe not our most personal things, but we do our intimate connecting with people around the table, don't we? We go out for a meal, we invite other people into our homes to have a meal. And Jesus is saying, if you do this and care for people around the table, I will care for you in heaven around my table. What Jesus did for his disciples before they sat down, by washing their feet, he demonstrated the heart of servanthood. He served his disciples, and he wants us to serve in this house, to serve in our homes, to serve on the streets, as I didn't, to serve our friends, and to serve those who don't know him. We're going to have a look at a beautiful video of a man that changed a town because of his compassion. Merciful compassion breaks down barriers that we can't even comprehend. That whole town was broken down because of one man's act of compassion. You know, all of us have a lot of prejudices, whether we admit to them or not. But when we act with compassion to those that perhaps we normally wouldn't rub up against, it breaks down a barrier, it breaks down our thought process, and we operate as Jesus would. Your last filling is merciful. No, it's not actually. I'm tricking. Merciful compassion. That's what Jesus requires from us. My mum's 89 in July. We're going to have lunch with her today. She's not a really super active mum anymore. But, you know, she was when I was living at home. She had four children that she had to raise as a single mum on her own. She loved Jesus so much. She would invite people from church that were visiting that day to come and have a meal with us and enjoy Sunday lunch. She displayed to me what it was to be a servant, to love Jesus. And I love her example and her model. Mums, I think, display one of the best models of being a servant. Beth confessed a couple of weeks ago that she realised once she moved out from home and had her own home, how little she did at home herself. And you know, I think we're all a little bit like that when we leave home. We suddenly realise how much our mums sacrifice for. A lot of our mums, some mums don't, I admit that, but a lot of our mums sacrifice for us and continually give to us and step in the gap of what we don't do. You know, there's many mums in this congregation who I watch who operate out of that compassion, not just for their own children. Jenny Russo, she has loved many, many kids that aren't her own. And she serves those kids by bringing them along to Alpha, by praying for them, by taking them out for lunch, by caring for them. Wendy Schotter is another mum who doesn't just love her own kids, but serves down at City Life, feeding the homeless and the poor. Brenda and George Smith spent years in PNG caring for those who didn't have what they had. They cared for the parents and the children living in the slums. Mums give a great example of what being compassionate and servanthood is. Your last outline is, whose world can you colour with a touch of heaven through an act of service? Whose world can you colour with a touch of heaven through the act of service? It's funny how since doing this message, I've been prompted in many ways, like I shared that example of the lady at the lights. But even in my quiet time this morning when I was just reading some verses out of the Bible, I came across this passage in James, and it was in the Message version. And the very last verse in James, it said, God talk without God actions is outrageous in God's eyes. God talk without God's actions is outrageous in God's eyes. So I can stand up here and talk about God, but unless I walk down and actually serve someone, then it's just words. I'm serving myself. I'm not serving God, and I'm not serving others. Second Life on mission is to serve others. Let's talk to God. Father God, I just thank you that Jesus came and he brought heaven to earth. He was heaven on two legs. Jesus, I pray that our heart would break for those around us who are struggling with life, who don't know you. And Lord, I pray that we would be so attractive to them, that we would serve them when you prompt us to, Father God. Forgive us when we've missed those promptings. But Lord, I pray, don't give up on us. Continue to prompt us. Continue to look for ways how we can serve others to be attractive so that they might want to know more about who you are and that they might give their lives to you, Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Gateway Family Church. We hope you join us again for another great message next week. For more information or to contact us, head to gateway.asn.au.